California, Alabama, and they're on the edge of their seat now. It's time for the word. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. That's better. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. God, we give you praise, glory, and honor for your goodness. Lord, it is good to be in your presence, Lord God, giving you thanks. And Lord, we don't want to downgrade when it comes to the word. Lord, we want our spiritual antennas to be up and in tune with heaven, Father, that we receive everything from you. God, over the next 35 minutes, Lord God, we want to sow into your people greatly, Lord God. We want to build them into a place that we come into a fullness in you at the end, Lord God. And day by day, we will get better. We will, Lord God, grow in you and accomplish great things. Father, we pray that your word today, Lord God, was sent and is sent to heal us and deliver us from all destruction according to your word. Father, that you will, Lord God, send this word to be a lamp unto our feet and to a light unto our path. And Lord, our time is right now. God, you've told me so many times, the time of the church is now. The time to rise up is now. The time to go, the time to do, the time to become is right now. And so, Father, we seize the moment, and we thank you for the grace to release your word in the atmosphere. Lord, we give you praise. Glory, 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 and honor. Father, your name is above all names. Lord, you are the absolute supreme King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Alpha, Omega, Lord God, first, last, beginning, and end. Lord God, you author everything in between. You understand. You know, Lord God, you're concerned, and you see, and you respond. And so today, God, respond to your word, Lord God. God, as your servant stands before you, respond to your word, Lord God, and speak through me to them, Lord God, that they might receive, hear, and go and do. And God, we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 32. When you get there, say, I am there. The writer of Hebrews begins this way. I'm going to read 32 through 34. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time will not fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, think about all that was said about the Abrahams, the Isaacs, the Jacobs, the Moses. And now here's the writer of Hebrews says, I don't have time to tell you about the others. But their story is just as great as Abraham's. Their story is just as great as Isaac's. Their story is just as great as Jacob. Their story is just as great as Moses. And I came alongside to tell you today that your story is just as great as Abraham's too. Your story is just as great as Isaac too. Your story is just as great as these men and women of God of faith in this Hebrews chapter number 11. And so Hebrews chapter 11, how many of you ever heard this chapter before? And it's called the Hall of Fame Faith Chapter. Come on, I said the Hall of Fame faith chapter. And so I want to just take a minute to just talk about the Hall of Fame for a second. How do you get elected into the Hall of Fame? How do you actually get that plaque with your face on it and you get to stand with a yellow jacket or whatever color sport you're in and you get to address people in Ohio or that Hall of Fame? But how do you get there? I want to just take a few minutes before we go into the word and just talk about the Hall of Fame career. And I want to just tell you one thing, that you are voted in based on a career that exceeds mediocrity. Oh, I'm talking to the church today. When it comes to the Hall of Fame, your career isn't just a mediocre career, just not an average career. Your career actually was an excellent career that excelled. So the number one is that you voted in because your career was not just average. God said, I'm not dealing with average Christians. I'm dealing with Christians of excellence in 2018. I'm trying to get me back up a little bit. But he's not just going to pour out all that precious anointing on just average people. I want to let you know that you're peculiar people. You're a holy nation. There's something about you that speaks excellence. And God in 2018 is calling for a greater level of excellence so that you too, your name could be in this hall of fame of faith. Tell your neighbor, mediocrity doesn't do it. Average doesn't do it. Just meeting status quo doesn't do it. I'm going to tell you again, there's something about you in 2018 that has to rise up to a level of excellence that demands recognition for what you're doing, that demands you to be recognized, not by man, but by God, to say, you know what? That's my Hall of Fame player right there. That's a Hall of Fame career. That's a Hall of Fame. Come on, someone. I want to be in not the natural Hall of Fame, but I want my name to be in that Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame faith chapter. By faith, apostle took regions. By faith, apostle took down giants. By faith, apostle brought in the souls. By faith, young people was made whole. By faith, sons and daughters were raised. Come on, someone. You want your name to be in that hall of fame saying you did something good. The number two, I love this the most here about how you get into the hall of fame. It simply says that your career has had to have lasted more than just a few years. In other words, you can't be a one-hit wonder and get into the hall of fame. Yeah, you can't have that one great year and get into the, you know, no. You got to prove longevity. You got to prove consistency. Hall of Fame material requires consistency. And then number three, here's another one. How do you get into the Hall of Fame? You're voted in by your peers. Your peers recognize your greatness. Your peers recognize how you supersede everything else, how you stand out. And I believe that this is the year that we need to take note of people that are doing great things and recognize them. If the current world can recognize people for great things and give them Grammys and give them Oscars and give them all things, why can't we begin to recognize God's people for doing something? If your son or daughter graduates, let's make a big deal about it. Come on, someone. If you get married and you are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, let's make a big deal about it. If you've given birth into the world, let's make a big deal about it. Why? Because we want to celebrate you growing into the kingdom of God. Not just being average, not just being that one that is doing same thing that other people do. I don't want to do the same thing anymore. You got to get with me today. I say, I don't want to do the same thing anymore. I want to do something new. I'm tired of doing the same thing. I'm tired of having church the same way. I'm tired of looking at people praise God the same way. When you know God has been good to you, I know there's a different kind of praise in you. I know there's a fanatical praise. I know there's more than just a reserved, setback, nonchalant praise that is on the inside of you. Do something new this year. Watch something new hit you. Amen. And so in that Hall of Fame career, there's that final moment. There's that shining moment. And I call it that appointed time of now. When your whole career now is being assessed by some people and it comes to that one moment. And you know what? How do you get to the Hall of Fame? When you finally get there, they vote you in. But the only way you got there is because you had a now moment. What was that now moment? They said your name in the draft. Come on, someone. You were sitting there with your three-piece suit on, high waters, tight suit and all that. You know how them athletes do now, them different hairdos, and they call their name, and they're number one, they're number two, they're number three. Tell me, I know they're happy because all they see is dollar signs. But that is their now moment. Everything they did now is getting ready to pay off, and it's not just going to pay off that day, but it's going to pay off if they're right by their money and their life for the rest of their life. And so I begin to look at this, and the writer of Hebrews, he talks about this, and it's always called the Hall of Fame chapter of faith. And I believe that because there's some Hall of Fame players in here that did great things. And so here's what strikes me here. The writer of Hebrews, he states that time wouldn't even allow him to talk about some of these other great men who did great things, all these people that did great things. And so I looked at it, and I'm saying, well, let me talk about it. We know Isaac, we know Abraham, we know Jacob, we know Moses, we know all these great men. And so if you didn't have the time to talk about it, I do. And so he begins to mention people like Gideon. Come on, someone shout Gideon, the mighty man of valor. He talks about Gideon and Barak and Jephthah, and he talks about Samson, and he talks about David, and he talks about Samuel and the other prophets. And so I begin to look at this. I'm seeing all these people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. If they got to that Hall of Fame faith chapter, it's because they had a now moment. It was a moment when God called them and God began to recognize the value of the gift of the anointing he placed in their life. And so when God called them up and God called them to do something, that was their moment now. that was that new coming to place now. And so I'm going to just go on in this thing here, and I'm going to try to behave today, but I probably won't. But that's okay, because I'm going to be me. The Jesus me, not the carnal me, not the world me, the Jesus me. Amen. And so, man, I'm going to have some fun. Have you ever been in a line before? And you've been waiting. And you stood there for minutes, in some cases hours. You waiting for that cashier. You hoping they open up another register, but they don't. You're waiting for that attendant, and you're just sitting there, and you're trying to occupy your time. You might have small talk, small conversation. You might even be mad, mean mugging everybody because you're tired of waiting. Whatever it is, you're standing there, and you're looking at that attendant, and you're just waiting for those words, for that person to look up and look you in the eye and say, next. Oh, I'm finna walk on through here today. You're waiting and anticipating. Next. Who's next, please? Who's next, please? Who's next, please? Who, next. And when you know that you're that next person in line, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to someone today that 2018, I'm calling out next. Yeah, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying you've been in line too long. I know your feet are tired. I know you're waiting to get to the place where you need to be at. But the Spirit of the Lord is saying next. He's making eye contact with you. He's saying next. He's not looking the other way. He's saying, no, it's you. It's you. You're the one that's been waiting. It's your dream that's been on hold. It's your destiny that I've been waiting to give to you. And so God is saying, who's next? You're next. And see, what I love the most, it wasn't just anybody. Because God's saying you can't cut in line to get your next. Woo! You can't cut in line a butt to get where God wants you to be. You got to wait your time, wait your turn. And when God says next, it doesn't matter who is in front of you or behind you, who was trying to cut you off. You are next is now. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit said next. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Say, Holy Spirit said next. Now, my only hope is that when the Holy Spirit says next, and I know about this many times, when you show up to that attendant and you don't have all the paperwork or the documents, you might get turned around. You might show up at the register. Oh, God, I done lost my money. I'm sorry. I just can't let you go because you don't have the proper documents to prove that you can do or have what you say you could have. But I don't know about you. I've got my documents together. I've got my resume together. I've got my things in order. I see, I got my love right. I've got my peace right. I've got my joy right. I've got my praise right. See, I've got my relationships right. That's why I get along with people, because when God says next, he's looking for the pure in heart. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. So I say next. Say next to me, God, I'm ready. Come on, I live with my documents ready. Someone said, I want to travel the nation, but how you travel the nation without a passport? How you going to go places and do things that you don't have the proper documentation? And so when your next comes, you could be still standing there because you are not prepared and ready. You've been talking about it. You've been praying about it. You've been prophesying about it. You've been dancing about it. But God said, it's your next. Are you ready? Oh, man. See, I want you to be ready. When God says it's your time to reach this chapter 11, you're going to have gone through everything. You have fought the giants, lions, tigers, bears. You have defeated enemies. You have slayed everything. And God says next. And you say, God, here's my resume. What's my education? The Bible. Who's my references? The Holy Spirit. What's my address? Heaven. So I know I belong. My next is now. So you could call my name, my number. I got everything to prove. Look at my face. It's the same as what I was going through as what I was not going through. Come on, someone. I didn't change the face because I was going through problems. My face stayed the same because I was focused on Jesus. Not that I've already attained, but I've come to it. But I'm still pressing. I'm still reaching. I'm forgetting about those things which are behind. And I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, I haven't got there yet, but I'm not letting the past mess me up either. So when you call my name, I got my stuff together. It might not be perfect, but it's right for the moment. Come on, someone. My face on the passport might look younger because it's years ago, but it's still the same face. Oh, man, come on, someone. Woo, I feel good today. Tell your neighbor he's feeling good today. And so I hear the Holy Spirit saying 2018, next. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody's been waiting in a long line. You've been waiting and you've been travailing and you've been praying and you've been seeking and you've been wondering, when is my time coming? What is my time coming? Well, just make sure you got your documents together, because God is saying in 2018, next. Now, that's not for everyone. That's for someone. And so I begin to look at this and I'm saying, man, this writer of Hebrews, you didn't have enough time to talk about, you know, all these people. But there is somebody I want to talk about today over the next 30 minutes and give you an understanding of what God is saying. And I want to talk about this Hall of Famer named Jephthah. Come on, say it with me, Jephthah. Who is that? Well, you're going to find out. And I know I got some people here. Well, yeah, Jephthah, you ain't never read him yet. You just trying to be spiritual. Don't you get tired of people sitting next to you trying to be spiritual? Like, yeah, I know Jephthah, that mighty, yeah, mighty what? Where in the Bible is Jephthah? I'm just digressing to get you to laugh a little bit, but, you know, just super spiritual people. I know the Bible backwards and forwards. Yeah, Jephthah, go ahead, talk about Jephthah. Jephthah, Jephthah, where's he found at? Look at somebody Googling right now. Somebody searching right now. Where Jephthah at? Who is that Jephthah guy? Who is that guy? So you don't have to be super spiritual, saints. Just be you. If you don't know, now you know. See, in order to get to your new, you got to learn something new. Come on, someone. You can't rely on the old to get you to the new. You got to learn something new. And if you understand some new things and be open to new things, God is going to take you to a new place. Come on, give God a praise. Yeah, I believe that. So I'm always open. When I don't know, teach me. I was sitting at the apostles' feet the other day. Teach me, man. Give me some more. I got, no, we ain't going yet. I need some more. That's my hunger and thirst. What's yours? If you're hungry and thirsty like that today, I need you to pull on me just for a few more minutes, all right? And so tucked away in this chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, is a name called Jephthah. And for a few moments in history, he did something. He didn't do it in 45 years. He didn't do it in 30 years. He didn't do it in 35 or 20 years or 25 years. He had 6 years of being the judge of Israel. And some of you think you got to do something great and be long. No, no, no. One moment, the day you stand up to the devil and tell you no and yes to God and you walk on your high places, God will put you in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Come on, someone. See, I don't have to be like the natural man and go through all these seasons of trying to do good. No, no, no. That one moment I stand up and make a faith declaration and trust God and begin to live and walk by faith and not by sight, God begins to look at me like a Hall of Famer. And so here this man named Jephthah in Judges chapter 11. One of those judges, and we know about Gideon, we know about Samson, and we know about Deborah, and we know about, you know, all the other ones that people talk about, but, you know, Jephthah is one that impressed me the most because it has something to say in a little bit of time and a space, and you'll find it in here in Judges 11 and 12, and in his name in Hebrews 11. Other than that, you don't see it. Doesn't mean he was insignificant. He must have been significant to make it to Hebrews chapter 11. And so in Judges chapter 11, go there with me, verse number 1. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures with you, and then we're going to get down to business. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up and thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brother. Man, I got something good to sow into you today. And dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah and went out with him. I believe that God put this here to make us learn his name. You're going to say it till you get it. Jephthah, 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 Jephthah. You only want to see it once because you're going to chop it up. But here you see it several times. And so here it goes here. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me? and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, 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 when you in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now. Now, 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 now. Get the theme of this year, now. That thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. Say amen for the word today. Amen. Jephthah, say Jephthah. Jephthah. See, he was a mighty man of valor. That's what the Bible calls him, a mighty man of valor. He judged Israel for 6 years. But here's something about the story of his life, is that he was a child born to of a prostitute. Come on, tell your neighbor he was born of a prostitute. Come on. So he grew up with his brothers from another mother. Here is Gilead, who had him on the side by a prostitute. And then Gilead now also marries and has other sons. Here is now Jephthah that is growing up in the midst of hatred and those that don't want him there. And they cast him away. Why? Because they don't want him to share in the inheritance of their father. Why? Because he was born of a strange woman. Sounds like a hard life, doesn't it? We don't want you because you're different. We don't want you around because you are sick, because you're contaminated, because you're poisoned, because you're from there, because you're from the south side, because you're from the west side, because you're from the suburb. We don't want you. We don't want you to be a part because you just don't belong. There's something about you that is not like us, and we don't want you to be in our corner if you're not like us. We don't want no fellowship with you if you don't have the same friends that we have, if you don't go to the same places we go and do the same things that we do. We don't want you to have no fellowship with us if you cannot talk like us, if you can't go and sin like us and get down like us. We don't want no fellowship with you. So we want to get you out because you don't want to have nothing. We don't want you to have nothing of dad's stuff. We're greedy. We want it all for ourselves. We don't want to share it. We want to just manipulate the system and hog everything and become great in our own eyes. And we want to get you out. And I don't know about you. Maybe that's your story. And in some instance, many of us have gone through places. Maybe you're not born to a prostitute, but maybe you've been ostracized or kept out of certain circles or kept out of certain places and don't belong in certain atmospheres. And you felt like you needed to prove yourself in order to be there. Well, I come to tell you today, you don't need to prove yourself to no one but God. You don't need to measure up to anyone but the Spirit of God. And so when people don't want you, when they don't need you, when they don't want to kick you out, just tell them goodbye. And see, the Lord gave me a word about this here, is because the same people that shut him up, now what was a shut up became God's intentional shut in. See, many people don't talk about shut-ins these days because we're all modern, but he was shut out, but God said, that's my design and divine shut-in. In other words, I've got you covered while you shut in. They're shutting you out, but little did they know, I'm shutting you in. So who's greater, them shutting you out or me shutting you in? See, when you're shut in, you're in the secret place of the Most High. And so, therefore, you can't be touched out there by them when God has you shut in. In a shut in, you shut out the devil. And so, all those things that were out there to try to get you cannot be in the presence of God. So, I'd rather be shut in than be shut out. Amen. They shut him out. But little did they know, they actually shut him in. Because God hid him in a place. Now, here, I want to share this word with you because this was good. How would you feel if your now was supposed to be back then? He was a legitimate son of Gilead. And he deserved the inheritance just like the other sons deserved it. And sometimes we cry because we didn't get what we're actually supposed to have. But it's not about your crying. What are you going to do next? What are you going to do after that? How are you going to respond when you are shut out? You going to curse, kick the door, and tell them I don't want you no more? Or are you going to go and become something great still in the kingdom of God? But God was saying at that time that I'm going to cause your now to meet your today. It was supposed to be back then, but I'm going to make today your now. And so it tells me that God is the author of time, that he can restore time, that even when you've been mistreated and you've been gypped or cheated out of your inheritance of life, God still, see, I know that there's some people that have given up something to follow God, because Peter said that, Lord, we've given up all to follow you. And Jesus turned to tell them, what? Yeah, man, anyone that's given up land and houses and all this, in this time, don't you know you're going to receive not just a one-fold, a billion-fold, in other words, what God was saying. I'm going to return unto you everything that you were taken away from and every land that you were supposed to be in. God said, I'm going to give it to you again. I'm not only going to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you already furnished. You didn't hear what I just said. I'm not just going to give you something, but I'm going to give it to you fully furnished. I'm going to give it to you in working condition. I'm going to give it to you in living condition. I'm going to give it to you in a condition that is usable and meant for you, the standard of what I've called you to be. I'm not just going to bless you with anything. You have to struggle to maintain it. I'm going to bless it, because the Bible said the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And so I'm going to share this word with you today, because this is good. Because in Jephthah, I'm going back to Judges 11. Jephthah's strength and grace was in his warring ability. Notice how it started out in verse number 1, that he was a mighty man of valor. So it's something about the grace upon his life. Now, everyone has a grace in their life. Say with me, I have a grace. Jephthah's grace was warring. He knew how to war. He knew how to be strong and valiant as a man of valor. And so what the Lord began to show me is that God is going to expose your grace in a now moment in 2018. I'm going to say that again. If you just keep excelling in what you do, God is going to actually expose your grace. And see, what you have to learn about Jephthah is that Jephthah was a man of war. Jephthah was a valiant man. He was a man of valor. He knew how to fight. And so even when they cast him out, he didn't stop learning how to fight. Oh, man, I've got to come down here. See, some of us, when we get cast out, we quit. When we get turned away, we give up. And no, I'm not going to turn up. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there was set around him some vain men. You said, I don't want to be around nobody vain. Well, I tell you what, you got to understand that God has some humor in life concerning you and I. And so I'm going to read the scripture for you. Let's go to verse number 3, Judges 11 and 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. They were his buddies. They were his homeboys. They were his friends. They were his running partners. And Jephthah did not increase or decrease in strength. And I want to share with you what the word vain means, because this was so good. Vain means empty. Vain means worthless. Vain means reckless. Vain means adventurers. Vain means living on the wild side edge of life. And so God set some wild, adventurous, vain, worthless, reckless people around Jephthah to keep his war and grace sharp. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? I could put you around a passive bunch of guys, but that is not going to make you strong for when your now comes. Oh, come on. You got to get with me today. See, some of you are waiting on your now crying instead of getting around people who are going to challenge you. I don't mind a reckless person around me sometimes. Because there are times when I might not want to move, but it takes a reckless, living on the wild side type of apostle or man of God that says, apostle, we can do it. See, I got some friends that live on the wild side. I got some pastor friends that are not afraid to step out there. And so in order to stay sharp sometime, God will set you around people who are exactly opposite of you, and they will train you into what God said you really are. And so here are these vain, strange men around Jephthah who got kicked out of the house. How do you get kicked out and get around some weirdos? Reckless, have no thought about life, just living. Don't you know that God was preparing him for war? God said, I've got you around people who are not afraid so that when you come up against Ammon, you're not going to be afraid. I got you around some people who are not afraid to live on the wild side and reach out there and step out on water, because I'm going to call your number and your appointed time of now is going to come, Jephthah. And when I call your name, it's not going to be who me. It's going to be, yes, it's my time now. And so the Lord is saying, I'm setting you around some strange people and you keep questioning me and your friendships and all that around there. But some people are around you to refine you. They're actually around you to get you sharper and to get you pushed to the place, because if they weren't around you, you wouldn't go. If they weren't around you, you'd be more and there's some things that you would not have done if you didn't have that courageous friend. Now, has anyone here had that crazy friend? You know, rage or don't be act like. Everyone has had that crazy friend. I mean, I had a friend, man, they said, I'll bust somebody in the head for you. And they would do anything you said. I'm like, man, not today. I know you're going to do it. Don't do it today. But it got me courage. Oh, man, who am I talking to? Am I just talking to some upscale church that ain't been through nothing? Am I talking about some ones that know they done had that crazy friend, the one that would do anything, the one that would jack a car, the one that would go in and just do crazy stuff and walk out and they find out their pockets are full, they done stole everything? Man, I went to school and I was in school one time and we went up in a grocery store to get groceries and I'm walking out and these dudes is running. I paid for my stuff, and these guys are running back to the dorm. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, what had I done got myself into? These guys, and man, I don't believe this. My mama going, Dad going to kick my tail. I'm going to go home the first semester already in trouble for stealing. I didn't even do nothing. But, you know, it wasn't like they were best friends, but around them, they gave me courage for being away from home for the first time. In other words, you're going to survive. I know I'm going to survive, but man, you got to steal that much. If I would have took a photograph, I mean, their winter coats looked like Eskimos, man. They had just, if I told you what they were stealing, man, they were, Lord, help me, Jesus. I said, fellas, next time I'll walk. But here's what I want to get to today, is that there are vessels around you that are meant to build you. And when you feel like you've been pushed and ostracized aside, you got to hold on, because go with me to verse number 4. Just put verse number 4 on the screen here, because what's going to happen is there's a process of time. Are you with me today? There is an appointed time that after you have experienced much and gone through much, God is now going to call your number and it's going to be your time. Now, the Bible says it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon, they made war against Israel. The Ammonites, ancestors of Lot, right? Ammon, the son of Lot. Incest, lust, wickedness, sin, hatred, all that against. And so now here's the Ammonites, Ammon, they raise in war against Israel. But the Bible says in the process of time, they were getting scared. But on the other end of that time building, there was a man named Jephthah who was getting stronger. Stay, tell your neighbor, I'm getting stronger. And so here's what the Lord began to show me here, is that this is your appointed time where God is getting ready to raise up a people. And here's the word of the Lord, that someone can't handle the predicament they're in right now. They need you. Someone can't handle the stress that's on their life now and the torture that's coming at them. And so now they need you. Now, here's what the Lord began to show me here. Go to the next verse, number 5 here, as I begin to flow here. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah. I'm telling you that in 2018, somebody's coming to look for you. Oh, man, come on, church. I said someone is coming to look for you because you didn't die when they kicked you out. You didn't get mad and upset when they tried to thrust you out of the family inheritance. You actually went somewhere and did something with your life. So now they're saying, where is Jephthah now? Where is the one that we kicked out? We know that he could kick some butt and some tail, and we kicked him out. So now we need to find him, and perhaps maybe he'll come back and help us. Verse number 6, go there real quick here as I continue to flow. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain. Now here's the second word. Not only are they going to come look for you, but they're going to put you in charge. 2018, God is getting ready to reverse the last shall be first, and the first is going to be last. And so now I'm going to set people now in first positions, in first places that used to be last, used to lag behind. You are now going to be in first place. Why? Because they're looking for you. Why are you in first place? Because you were refining your skill and your grace while you were going through your problem. Yes. Amen. Next verse, please. I got your attention now, don't I? And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, you hated me. It was you that didn't want me. It was you that talked about me. It was you that didn't want me to have that money. See, that's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because they wanted the inheritance so much, they loved it so much, that they were willing to get rid of their own brother in order for them to have more. And so he said, now after all, you are the ones that hated me. You expelled me out of my own father's house. I belong there just like you belong there. Brings me back to the point I made earlier. What happens when your now was supposed to be back then? I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to have that job. I was supposed to be an inheritor of your riches, Dad. And you put me out. He said, and why are ye come unto me now? Because why are you in distress? You didn't want me. You didn't need me. You didn't consider me. You didn't like me. You hated me. But I excelled in my grace through all that. I'm talking to someone in 2018. You excel anyhow. You become great anyhow. You become excellent anyhow. Defy the laws of gravity and do what they say you can't do. Come on, someone. Defy the laws of people around you and become what they said you cannot become. Do and be do. Oh, I'm just feeling this thing hard today. You got to have the spirit of Jephthah in you that says if you kick me out and you place me around strange, vain, reckless, worthless, valueless people, I'm still going to become great in the army of God because this is my assignment. Some of your assignment is to become great through your hell. You trying to get out of hell. God said, I'm trying to build you in hell. You trying to run out of hell. But God said, I'm trying to mold you and shape you in hell. Because don't you know in hell, if you make your bed there, I am there. So it doesn't matter where you are. I can move if you're there. If you're not there, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'll move where you let me move at. You try to escape hell just so a better life. God said, I'll make you a better life in the midst of hell. Yea, though in the valley of the shadow of death, do not fear, for I'm with you. How do I know that? Because thou art with me, right? You're with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Come on, I've got something with me every day of my life that I'm not going to fear what man's going to do unto me. I'm not going to get mad because you walk out on me. I'm not going to get upset because I passed by and I'm supposed to have my now back then, but it came today. I don't mind waiting because as I wait, it gets greater. I don't mind the storm, because I know after the storm there is sun. But even more importantly, after the sun and in the rain, there's growth. Are you ready for this here? God said, I'm going to make you like Jephthah, and I'm going to make you ruler over much. And in the book of Matthew chapter 25 verse 23, I want to go there real quickly here, because I'm almost finished here. Just give me a few more minutes here. It says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few, just a few things. See, he only had 6 years as judge, but he landed in the Hall of Fame of Faith chapter. 6 years. There were others at 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, but 6 years. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will. Tell your neighbor, he will. He said, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into now the joy of the Lord. And so what you see happening here in 2018 is that those that have been faithful in 2017 are the small things. God's getting ready to make you ruler over big things. And I'm not just saying this for word. I said this is not for everybody. This is for somebody. I'm preaching a somebody message today, not everybody, but a somebody message. So get ready. If you've been faithful over just a few things. That was the whole importance of preaching about Jephthah. It wasn't a great history, a long history, excuse me. It was a great history. It wasn't the longevity of 30 years or 40 years. It was just 6 years of doing the right thing. But then let me go back a little bit and let me share this with you. Jephthah, now he became their ruler because a now moment came that someone else couldn't handle. God is getting ready to elevate some of you because somebody couldn't handle the position they was in. Someone couldn't handle even the grace that was given them. Now they couldn't handle it, and they're calling for you now because you have the grace and you have the excellence and the skill to get the job done. This is what God is doing in 2018. Your now is coming because someone else couldn't handle it. Who couldn't handle something that they're calling for you now? Lord, help me. I don't know what to do with this child. They can't handle a certain situation. How do I know that? Well, here now, Ammon made war with Israel, and they couldn't stand the fact that we're getting ready to get our tails kicked. We can't handle what's coming at us, and so we need to find the one we kicked out. I got a word for you, if that's you. Because I don't know about you, but I've been bypassed over the years for different things, and I didn't get mad. Matter of fact, I celebrate those that got it. Because if it's for me, it's going to come to me eventually. You might just be holding it, getting my seat warm till I get there. Because when it comes down to it, if you can't handle the situation, I've got the answer because Jesus is the answer. Come on, someone. And so now you are coming through in someone else's inability to handle a current situation. That's what I see 2018 be. And so this is where I want to show with you today, which is good for me and is good for you. This is why you can't afford to get ignorant and get bitter and get in unforgiveness in your season of drought or your season of adversity, because God is watching that. Do you hear what I said? You can't afford to walk away if you've been looked over, talked about, thrust out, mistreated, done wrong. You can't afford to hold a grudge. Can I give you the word of the Lord now? Your new and your now is determined by how you handle your back then. I'm going to say it again. Your new and your now is determined about how you handled your back then. If you lied, if you got upset, if you didn't forgive, if you were bitter, if you were upset and talked about and did all that, your now is still waiting. Jephthah went on with life. And even if you set me around vain people who were reckless and that didn't have any sense of life and direction, yet still you're using those vain men to sharpen my skill. Some of these crazy folks, man, you need to hang around a little bit because they'll teach you how to be crazy in the spirit. Oh, I'm talking to you now. Some of you need to go down there and hang out with some homeless people. Because they're going to show you how to survive when it gets rough. They're going to show you how to live when everything is not handed to you and readily available to you. You're still going to have to live. And so that's why you can't bypass and just discard anyone. Let me handle the good part here. So tell your neighbor, you can't afford to get mad and get bitter when things don't go as they were planned. Because your now is determined by your back then. How did you handle them back then? How did you walk away? How did you close that door? How did you leave that job? How did you terminate? How did you end the relationship? How did you do that? Because if it was bitter, if you were upset, if you were cursing, if you were mad, you're not getting to the now. Until you get it right back then. And so the Lord gave me this final word here, is that God actually has your next in mind. He said 2018 is going to be a breakthrough year. A breakthrough in great ways. And I began to talk to God about this and talk back to me. And he began to show me some things in scripture. He said, I hide things in scripture so that you can search it and find it and reveal it to the church. And so he said, I want you to reveal Jephthah for who he is. And the name Jephthah means God will open. Yahweh, let me put it the right way. Yahweh will open. If you further the translation or the understanding, it's going to show you that it's also breakthrough time. So his name Jephthah means not only God will open, or Yahweh will open, but God will also break through. And so God began to submit to me that you're getting ready to break through, because the spirit of Jephthah, Yahweh, is going to break through. Yahweh is going to open up. Whatever's been closed and locked up is getting ready to open up. Why? Because you didn't die in your adversity of 2017. You chose actually to live, even though you were thrust out as was Jephthah. You still said, there is value for my life. There is something God has for me. And rather than complain and get upset and run away mad and curse you out, I am going to live and develop my skill. And my now is going to meet me in 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, God said your now is going to meet you at the place when you least expected it. You thought you were valueless and useless and that it was over. God said, no, I was working on you, and I'm going to cause the same people that didn't want you to now come and ask for you again. I'm asking for you because you are the only one that could get the job done. You are the only one that was capable of doing it the right way. See, it doesn't matter. See, all that they did didn't matter the moment they needed help. Are you hearing me today? When people get desperate, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. What can you do for me right now? And God is saying, I'm going to raise the church up in 2018, that those that didn't really recognize the church is what they should. They thought the church was just a place I could come and patty cake God and placate Christianity and still live the same kind of life. He said, no, no, no. There's going to be a wake up in 2018, and 2018 people are going to come in and they're going to say, I used to didn't want to come to church, but now I got to be at church. I used to didn't want to hear you speak, Pastor, but now I got to hear you speak. I used to didn't want to be in your presence, but now I got to be in your presence. Why? Because they come to a point where they can't handle where they are no more. Someone can't handle where you are. That's why you might be here today. And we're here to tell you, we are more than able to do it with you, because God has raised the church up in 2018 to handle problems that the world could not handle. And you need to get more excited about that. I said, there are going to be things that happen in the world that only the church is going to be able to rise up and say, no, they're going to live and not die. There is an answer for cancer. There's an answer for AIDS. There's an answer for that disease. There's an answer for every problem. There's an answer for every situation. There's an answer for every trial. There's an answer for every tribulation. The church is the answer, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We carry the answer in 2018. I don't know if you heard me loud and clear, but I said, we carry the answer in 2018. When they can't figure out, when they can't handle it, when they're ready to give up, and then when they're ready to close the doors, the church shows up and said, no, I'll buy the doors. You didn't hear what I said. When they're ready to condemn the building, no, the church says, no, we will buy the building and we'll turn it into a refuge. When crime goes up, when our young people are going scandalously crazy and they have no answer, where is the church? Let me tell you right now, it's not ironic, but it's God ordained that in every situation and in every area of this region, we are now being called in to help and answer the problem. I'm being honest with you today. In the realm of where they didn't want the church, they're now saying, we need you. Let me wake some of you up. They're saying specifically to me, Apostle, do you have anyone you could send? Do you have anyone that could come? I know you have a lot on your plate, but is there someone you could send? Because we need the church. Got a call this week, and a man of God said, I need you. You got to be my mentor, because it's been years and I've not gotten nowhere, and I realize you got what I need. You have what someone needed in 2018. They're calling for you even though they didn't want you, even though it's not your alma mater, even though they don't know you there. They're calling for you because they recognize that there's a greater power working in you, and his name is Jesus. 2018 is going to be that year. Well, you're now an appointed time is coming. And don't you know that it could still come even if you are Jephthah? Yes. That's right. So how many got some wild friends? I need you to go and give your wild friends a call and say, thank you for being wild. I'm not going to sin with you, but thank you for being wild in my life. Thank you for being a little bit reckless. Thank you for doing things that I would not have done to get me to a place that I needed to be. So I'm not ashamed of my reckless friends. Even if they're unsaved, because I know God can save them. And I know God can turn them into Peters. Because Peter was a reckless disciple. Are you with me today? Why are you looking at me like that then? Why don't you stand on your feet so I could pray for you? Did you receive that today? Locked up at the bottom of Hebrews chapter 11 is a man named Jephthah who went through so much. And I don't know if you ever been born or you were born of a prostitute and they called your mama strange. Back in the day, them were fighting words. Come on, matter of fact, if someone said to you, your mama, you was ready to fight. Am I right? Yes, yeah. All it took to start a fight was say your mama. And you called my mama strange. But yet I went on about my business in Tob. And I collected momentum. And I became stronger. And although you said my mama was strange, you now meet me with my strange mama self. If I'd have been Jephthah, I'd have brought my mama with me. Here's my mama. If you want me, you got my mama too. I'm talking real to you guys today. If you want me, then you got my strange kids too. I'm going to leave that one alone until later in the year. But some single mom with children need to say, if you want me, you got to take my kids too. Lift your hands before the Lord today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that the appointed time of now has come for some. Lord, even as you said, this message might not be for everyone, but it's for someone. Someone, God, that needed to know today that beyond all that life has brought in 2017, Lord, we might not have been born of a prostitute. We might not have been kicked out of a family, but yet there might have been some doors that were shut or closed in our life. There might have been some things that we could not be a part of because we weren't from there or a part of there. But yet, God, even in our place of unfamiliarity, Lord God, you set us around people that made us better. And so, no, God, you're bringing us back now. You're bringing us back, God. You're restoring us back, God. You're coming back to us and you're building us with power and strength. And so, Lord, we thank you today that from this man named Jephthah, we learn, God, that regardless of what it's been or the situation that it currently is, if we still excel in our grace, you will use us mightily. The Lord, our names will appear in that Hebrew 11 chapter of faith, Lord God, saying that we were a man or woman of God that refused to quit. We give glory and honor to you. And Father, Lord God, I thank you that someone out there is now calling us back to a place that we originally should have been. And Lord, I thank you for now restoring in this house 100-fold. Lord God, recompense, rebuilding, restoring. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our mind is upon you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Is there a sinner or backslider before we close that don't know Jesus?